Thank you very much. Thank you. Wait till I tell my husband about this.
So to my young friends out there, life can be great, but not when you can't see it. So open your eyes to life. And when it comes to drugs and alcohol, just say no.
Must be a big push this time, Case.
The Admiral told me not to tell.
The Admiral should have told me not to worry.
I was the happiest girl in the world when I became we. I love that. I love everything about marriage.
There are people who told me that it gets much easier. Well, maybe for them, but not for me. I miss him more now than I ever did.
Wouldn't it be nice if we could look at television or read the papers and read something wonderful and nice that's happened?
In her own words, throughout a very, very public life, an actress, a campaigner, first lady, Nancy Reagan, of course, will be remembered for all of this. And her 52-year marriage to President Ronald Reagan has often been described as the U.S. presidency's greatest love affair. In life, Nancy Reagan was a fierce defender and protector of her husband, both in the media and in public, and also behind the scenes in White House power struggles. President Obama said that she redefined the role of First Lady. Carl Sferrazza Anthony is a historian with the National First Ladies Library, and he's also a former speechwriter for Nancy Reagan, and he joins me now. Carl, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
And it's great to have you. Nancy Reagan's protectiveness, you know, for her husband, Ron, is famous. But what did that mean in their real life together? How did that manifest itself, do you think?
What a really great question. I'm so happy you asked that. Because by her own admission, that created a certain degree of stress for her. Everyone said it seemed like they were one and it seemed like they blended. But of course, in truth, they were two different people. And, with great sensitivity, she came to understand her husband with each passing year. And upon reflection, you know, she knew in him that he had a real resistance, a fear of confrontation. And sometimes just working through a difficult conversation to come to a resolution, he would perceive as a confrontation. And often his inability to tell somebody who he really cared about as a person, but who might no longer be really doing the job that they needed to do at the level of excellence they needed to do, would have to go. And so... it was so often left to Mrs. Reagan to take care of this. And I'm not sure that that was a role that really came naturally to her, but it's one that she learned to develop within herself. And when you really look at her arc over those 8 years, you really see enormous personal growth in her as a human being.
During those times of White House power struggles, you mentioned there were struggles with the White House chief of staff at a time where Nancy Reagan really had to push her husband, the president, to make some moves that he didn't want to make. Was she a close reader of headlines? Was she sensitive to what was being said about her in the press and the impressions that were born of that she was manipulating the president or that she was somehow the power behind the, I'll call it, the throne?
Yes, and she very much was, but I think, now you're talking, you know, she went through many different incarnations over those 8 years, very distinct different personas, which doesn't always happen, you know. Sometimes people get cast with one persona, and that is just so overwhelming that anything they do to contradict it just doesn't seem to get any attention, but her role really over time changed. And at the time of those confrontations, specifically the great big one, most important, with Chief of Staff Don Regan, occurred towards the end of the administration. 1987, the Tower Report was released with findings on the Iran-Contra scandal. It, to a certain degree, laid blame at the White House, and she felt that Don Regan really wasn't making a spirited defense of the White House and of the president, and yet he was persisting on an intensive schedule for the president, who had just gone through his third rather serious health crisis. You know, he had cancer twice, and he had the assassination attempt. And she very much wanted to guard his schedule, and she really did guard the president's schedule, and she reviewed that to make sure it was not overloaded. At that point, it's almost like she didn't even care anymore what they said about her. The main thing was to ensure the reputation publicly and privately, the physical and emotional well-being of her husband.
Carl Sferrazza, Anthony, we're going to talk in a moment about Nancy Reagan's skills as a communicator and the drug war from the 1980s. But before we go, in our last few seconds here, your final thoughts.
I think there was a great complexity to her, and I think she was a very compassionate person. But I think she was under a lot of different pressure during those years. She lost her mother 2 days after she got out of the hospital from breast cancer surgery and didn't even have time to recover emotionally, as she said to me, from the surgery, but then the loss of her mother, and then the Gorbachevs came for the signing of the INF treaty. She went through a lot, and I think she came out well.
Carl Sferrazza, Anthony, National First Ladies Library historian and speechwriter for Nancy Reagan, thank you so much for your thoughts.
Thank you.